If you ever have the pleasure of being able to holiday with one of the Bellows boys, I think there's something that is possibly true about all three of them. They want to know what's really going on, how things work. I'm just imagining this, perhaps, of Derek and Roger sitting on a cruise, and the rest of us are at the pool. But Derek and Roger are looking for the engineer's room or into the cabin. They want to find out, into the captain's cabin, to see how things really work. As I say, I'm only imagining this about Derek based on what I know from him. He's inviting me to tour, you know, the sewage plant, which I haven't taken him up on yet. But I did experience it with Roger when we were in Lebanon together. Here we were in this incredible place. He was always very good at asking how the organization worked. But he also got us a guided tour of the diesel generators that were located way at the back of the property as well. What they want to do is sort of open that door that the rest of us aren't interested in, and to see how things really work, what's really going on. This is what we mean when we use the word revelation. Not that we foretell something that will happen in the future, not that God acts miraculously in the moment, but that for one moment, our eyes are opened and we see the door opened and we understand how things really work. What's really going on here? There's a well-known story in the Old Testament. Elisha, the prophet, has been harassing the king of Aram and ensuring that he suffers defeat after defeat. And the king says, "That's enough. I'm going to catch Elisha once and for all." And so with his entire army, he surrounds this little village. And of course, Elisha's students are terrified. And one of them says to Elisha, "What shall we do? Well, surely we are going to be killed." And Elisha says, "Oh Lord, open his eyes." And the student's eyes are open, and suddenly around him on the hills, everywhere he can see, is alive with the flames of the armies of God, surrounding, blessing, and protecting Elisha and his people. We are in the season of Epiphany, when Jesus, the light of the world, is revealed to the world, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. We are celebrating Sunday by Sunday that Jesus is the light of the world, revealing God's glory here on earth. The passage, the story that we heard today, the wedding at Cana, is always read at this time. The celebration of God turning water into wine. Now, usually we could narrow in to say, what does this reveal in turning this water into this wine? And we could talk about the passages like we heard from Amos, where symbolically what was being revealed, that through Jesus, God was bringing about the great restoration of all creation and of all humankind. But I want us to step back a bit. I want us to look at the forest and not the trees this morning. Jesus was revealing God in this moment. Jesus was revealing how things work. Since the foundation of the world and until the day of judgment, Jesus is always the one, God the Son is always the one who makes the Father known. Jesus did this here in Cana. He revealed that God is at present and at work. Jesus is always the one who makes God known. Anyone, anywhere, anytime, throughout all of human history, who has had some encounter with God in some way, who has this sense that they have met the Creator in some way, has done so through God the Son. This is what Jesus means when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to God except through me." Therefore, the most direct way to get to know God is to get to know Jesus. Our tendency in modernity is to move in a very different direction, almost the opposite way. to recognize that many people have encountered God in this world and to say Jesus is just one of them. The important thing is that you do have a sense of God's presence. But the church reminds us that it is, in fact, very much the other way around. The Trinity isn't something that came into being at the birth of Jesus, but rather at the birth of Jesus we began to see the fullness of God's identity, that God was always triune and always will be triune, and that Jesus is always the means by which human beings come to know Jesus. Jesus is the clearest, brightest, most clearest revelation of God. And therefore, with the Gospels, if we have truly experienced God, if someone has truly experienced God, they will know, they will recognize Jesus. In the Gospels, the Jewish people are critiqued for just this thing. That if they had truly studied the scriptures, if they had truly come to know God, then when they saw God in the flesh, they would have recognized him. Instead, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to everyone who did receive him, God gave the chance to be born again, to be born and made children of God. This story that we heard, there are two sides to it. There is the abundance of good wine, but there is also the wine that runs out. Jesus reveals in this story that God is present and active in every moment. God is present and active in the making of the wine. This was what was revealed at Cana. On the one hand, we know wine is made by human experts. On the other hand, we acknowledge the truth that has been revealed to us, God makes it. We know there are many steps to creating wine. There is the gardening, the planting, the tending, the caring of the plant, the harvesting. There is the processing of the grapes, the creating of the wine itself. There is the packaging it. Then there is the shipping of the wine, the sending it out. There is the receiving it and distributing it so that it ends up in the homes of people and at the tables of wedding celebrants. There is so much grace at every step of this process. There are so many lives involved in the making and the shipping and the distributing of the wine. At every step is someone that God has created, that God has equipped, that God sustains. The soil itself, the seed, the sun, the rain, all of these are the creation of God, and God sustains them and contains them, continues them. And so, in one sense, what we see at the wedding of Cana is this one time God making water into wine. But what it reveals for us is that it was not just this one time, but that God is always the one at work from the beginning to the end of all the good things that come to us. Cana can transform how we see every glass of wine, every meal, every wedding, every celebration, even every cup of water. God is present and active. These are a gift from God. I wonder if the couple ever found out what happened. Just imagine if somehow they did. Imagine if every time then, from that moment onward, as they held a cup of wine, what would go through their minds? Remember that time God made water into wine? For us? What would happen every time they held a cup of water up? A simple cup of water. What will it taste like this time? I wonder if Moses ever looked at bushes in the same way after one of them caught fire and God spoke to him from the bush. I wonder if he walked a little more carefully around them and around trees. I wonder if John ever looked at doves or birds in the same way after he saw the Holy Spirit appear as one and speak and he heard God's voice from heaven speak to him. I wonder if he ever found himself near a pigeon, near a dove and, Holy Spirit, is that you? Elizabeth Browning wrote this poem. All of earth is crammed with heaven, every bush afire with God, but only the one who sees takes off his shoes. God is present and active in the making of the wine. But there is another side to this story, of course. God is also present and active when the wine ran out. And surely this is something we are far more familiar with in our own lives. We are far more familiar with our wine running out than with water turning into wine, than there being an abundance of wine. To think of that couple again, if they knew what had happened, was there ever a time when they were in great need again? Perhaps there was some moment when they lacked food and money. Perhaps there was a time when they might be homeless. Did one of them die young? Or did they age? Did they experience the losses that come with aging? In all of those possible experiences that are our common lot as human beings, did they still remember that special day, that clear light that happened before their eyes, that happened in their taste buds, in their hands, when God acted in their lives on their behalf, addressing their problems? Is there even one time in your life that you can think of when God was clearly present and active? A moment when water was turned into wine, when something ordinary became something incredible, something deeply special, some moment, intimate moment, when you knew this was God present, speaking to you, acting in your life on your behalf. Perhaps you can think of one time even when it happened in gathered worship. Perhaps it was an answer to prayer. Perhaps there was some incredible and wonderful coincidence that was a blessing for you and for whomever else was involved. Or perhaps it was in the midst of terrible pain when you found that there was supernatural comfort and strength and you knew that this was God with you. Cling to that day. It is Epiphany, the revelation of God present and active in your life. And that is the truth. Not just that God acted in that one moment in your life, but that God is always present and always active with you. Even when the wine is running out, God is with you. God loves you. Most of us have cooked meals. Many of us have cooked meals for other people. Now, a good meal with others is a wonderful time, and it's hard not to be grateful when you're with people you care about and enjoying good food. And sometimes we have experienced that there's something more in that moment, that our hearts are aware that we are grateful to God, that God is indeed present in that moment. And it somehow transforms the moment to something even greater than it was before. Or perhaps you have had the pleasure, the joy of preparing a meal for someone else in great need, someone in crisis, and you've taken it to them, a parent whose child is in crisis. And that meal suddenly can be the means of something powerful and transformative. This simple stuff, food that comes from the ground, food that you prepared, you pass it on to the person, and of course you hope that they're grateful and they receive it. But you can at least imagine, if you've never experienced it, that Maybe there has been a time, there has been the time, when that meal was received and the person wept. And they knew that this wasn't just a meal prepared for them, but that God had worked in a powerful way to care for them in that moment. This simple meal had been transformed into something powerful and wonderful, like water being turned into wine. I remain convinced that the greatest human good, the longing of every human heart, is to know that God is real, that God is present, that God is active. We do our best in the work that we have in front of us. We do our best in our relationships. And when it goes well, it's good. But we all long once, just even once, to see for ourselves that something more happens than just what we can provide. That it wasn't just that we did this, but suddenly God was there speaking through us. Now, Annabelle has felt this way as she teaches her class. Of course I can teach well. I've been doing it for decades. I can teach with my eyes shut. But once in a while I teach a class and God takes these English words that come from my mouth and transforms them, and they're powerful in people's lives. And that is what I know Annabelle is praying for and longing for. And that is what I know we are all longing for. But the human tendency is to ignore this longing, to dismiss it, even to just drown it out with whatever comes our way. And then to blame our ennui, our hopelessness, our angst, our depression, our weariness, to blame all of that not on our failure to seek out God and to look for the water being turned into wine, but to blame it instead on our misfortunes, or to blame it on others. Instead of seeking God in every activity, in every day. So what are we to do? What do you do when God turns water into wine? Well, I think we'd be pretty surprised. I think we would be amazed and moved, and we would give thanks. We would give thanks. And maybe we'd say, what about these other things that are going on in my life? This is nice, but what about we release our burdens to God? Jesus revealed here that it was more than just this moment, but that this is how God always behaves. This is what God is always doing. So what should we do? We should pray. The first thing in the morning, to wake up and to say a prayer of thanks for God's goodness. To say thanks before every meal, and even more, to extend that throughout your day, to notice all of the grace that comes your way through God, through other people. Before bed, to say thanks. To pray every day, to make some time to intercede for yourself, for others, for the world. You are the one God who is at work. Jesus revealed this to us. Here are the burdens that we are carrying. Every day, to listen and to look. First and foremost, to listen and to look for Jesus in the Scriptures. This is the easiest place for us to begin in the Gospels, to get to know Jesus. Because to get to know Jesus is to get to know God. But also to look and to listen all around you, all throughout your day. To look and to listen to all the people at work and all the ways that they are manifesting grace in the midst of whatever activities they are about. We are surrounded with so much grace and so much blessing. To look and to listen, perhaps, at water in a new way. To hold a cup of wine in a new way, to look at the bushes and the trees in a new way and the birds in a new way. Earth is crowned with heaven, every bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. Thanks be to God, who has revealed himself to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, and who is with us through the Holy Spirit moment by moment. Amen.